the bipartisan group of folks who've run the Office of Management and Budget and the Congressional Budget Office, the budget committees on the Hill and the Fed, so budget experts of all political stripes, and we have for 2 years been working on the budget process, which is sort of the lesser known piece of this broken budget that we have. So obviously we're going to have to fix our policies in this country, deal with taxes, deal with spending. That's what the White House Commission is going to talk about. But at the same time, the way we budget in this country is just plain old broken. And in fact, many people may not even know we don't have a budget in place right now.
Yeah, haven't for a long time.
That's right. And given, you know, the huge fiscal challenges that we face right now, that's nuts.
Yeah.
I think it's a technical term for operating without a budget. So what we have come up with is a suite of recommendations based a lot on what you see in other countries, recommendations from the IMF, looking at what's worked elsewhere and how to create a new budget regime which would help policymakers put in place more responsible policies to deal with deficits and debt and keep them on track, because every time we seem to get going on a good policy, we just change our mind, change direction. So to keep things sort of on a more constant, consistent base, which would add some more security to the economy.
And for feds, it's very hard to run a program when you're unsure about what your funding is going to be from month to month, year to year, and particularly in the last couple of years where there have been omnibus things, or it's very, very difficult to run a project effectively when you don't know what the future lies. So there are real implications for federal agencies here, too.
No, certainly. All the people who are trying to operate agencies and programs don't know whether they're going to be facing massive cuts, which at some point we may well, given our fiscal situation, or whether there'll be a freeze because they can't pass anything, or whether there'll be increases that they've seen in the past. It's no way to operate at all. And all this uncertainty is having very negative effects on the economy at the very time that we're trying to make sure that this recovery actually sticks. It's really making things tougher for businesses in particular to operate.
So one of your recommendations, and I think at least most feds would cheer this idea, is to create a credible multi-year budget plan. Tell us about that.
Well, right now, I mean, it's kind of remarkable. The budget sort of antics go on every year, and Congress fights over things and whether they pass the budget or not. You're not even sure if they will. It's only a small part of the budget. And then it starts all over again the next year, and they can change direction. And so one of the things that we really do emphasize is the need for multi-year budgets. If you start with a target and you say, within 4 years, we want to bring the deficit down to X percent or get the debt down to a reasonable level, and then you put in place policies to get there, and they would stay in place and keep us on track until it was replaced with a new budget. And we're not saying it's cemented in stone. You can always make new budgets, but that it would be in operation until replaced with another budget that also met a fiscal target to help with the fiscal challenges we have. That would be a really important improvement than this just year by year jumping around with no consistency in the budgeting. Again, back to your point, adding to some of the certainty that needs to be put there.
Part of your recommendations is creating something called the Sustainable Debt Act. And, tell us about that first, and then I have a follow-up question.
Well, it's really starting with a framework. So the Sustainable Debt Act would have members of Congress, both parties, and the White House come together and agree on what I was mentioning, a fiscal target, saying we are going to get to a debt level of, we recommend, 60% of the economy by the end of the decade. And then they would fill in each year the debt targets that you'd need to stay on track to get there. That would be kind of the first step. It's a little bit easier, actually, than the real policies that would get there, and therefore less politically fractious. So it's sort of the easing your way into then putting the policies in place and then keeping them on track. But that Sustainable Debt Act would be a law. Right now, when we pass the budget resolution, it's not actually a law, which is kind of an odd starting point for the budget.
You talk about that the president would be required to submit a budget that meets the statutory targets in the Debt Act. Isn't that essential? I mean, it sounds very similar to a lot of states have to balance their budgets. Is it similar to that kind of idea?
In that it's more constraining and that it would be more disciplined, but it's not the same in that we think there should be flexibility so that when the economy is bad, you can run deficits. That's one of the good things, that the federal government is able to have that flexibility, and that helps with recessions. You just want the upside also when the economy is strong, where you actually run surpluses, which is what we don't. So the Sustainable Debt Act would have flexibility for changing economic conditions, but overall it would keep you on track to get to those debt targets and bring these unsustainable debt levels back down.
One of the other big recommendations is increased transparency, a subject that I find just fascinating. Talk to me a little bit about transparency.
Well, so many things in the budget are just not what they seem to be, right? So many years, Medicare is, say, projected to grow by 8%. And if Congress made a change and it was only going to grow by 4%, in budget speak, we would call that a cut. And one of the things we say is, why don't we just say when we increase spending, it's an increase, and when we decrease, it's a decrease, the same as taxes, and therefore compare things to sort of how much we spent the year before rather than these strange things called baselines where comparisons are made to what they could be, and then cuts and increases are all twisted around. And another area is tax expenditures. We spend as much as $1 trillion a year through the tax code. And these things sort of are dressed up as tax cuts, but really they're spending programs in disguise. And we make a lot of recommendations for increasing the transparency there so that we can improve our tax code and not have such a huge toll on the budget as we do right now because of tax expenditures.
We also tend to play games with some of these things, and we don't count for years we didn't count war spending. We did that in supplemental, so it didn't get roped into the budget, which is a little bit of a charade, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Emergency spending and things outside of the budget are completely a charade. So it makes the budget that's submitted look like it's going to be less irresponsible than it really is in the end. And so what we say is that we should start budgeting for emergencies. It's you never know what they're going to be, but you know that they are going to be. And so if you set aside money, just like you do, for that something will break in your house, you just don't know what it will be, budgeting for emergencies in more responsible ways would lead us to do less of this budgeting, sort of shadow budgeting. And these emergency supplementals are becoming larger and larger and larger.
I got to ask you, because we've been talking about this issue, and even with the volume of it getting louder now, and yet over the years, it seems hard to have discipline to control ourselves.
Well, it does. Unfortunately, the political process is a little bit more focused on sort of partisan fighting and giveaways. You know, here's more tax cuts, here's new spending programs, than they are cooperating to put in place a realistic plan. And if we don't, financial markets will turn against the U.S. at some point, and that will be an incredibly painful way to get our way out of this problem, where interest rates will go up, the economic recovery would be derailed. There's all sorts of pain that would result from that, and it just makes no sense not to get ahead of this problem. And we have to stop putting politics and the fact that, you know, nobody's going to get their perfect plan to fix the budget, but we have to be willing to sort of start compromising now so we can get ahead of this problem. We think reforming the budget process could actually be one of the easier first steps to help get us there, and then it would help keep us on track.
And I know part of the multi-year thing, folks often say, hold on, is this unconstitutional because each Congress spends money in its you can't obligate somebody for the next Congress, and that's been one of the big arguments why this hasn't happened. Are you convinced that this is, are we closer today?
I think that, you know, Congress can always make changes. You can't tie Congress's hands. Budget process is there so Congress can tie its own hands when it wants to. Members of Congress know we have to make changes. They're a little bit nervous about how their voters are going to respond. Budget rules in many ways give them a way to say no. They can always reform the budget. They can always take a multi-year budget and change it. But in some ways, it's straitjacketing them in a way that they want. So it helps keep them on track and gives them an excuse to do what they know they have to.
Much more we could talk about here. Do you feel more like this is more likely to happen today than are people seem serious? It always seems like NIMBY issues get in the way. Yeah, cut everyone else's stuff. Don't cut mine.
People have asked me that. I don't actually think that. I think voters are incredibly willing to step up and deal with shared sacrifice as long as they feel like they're not the only person. So everybody needs to have some skin in the game. You don't want to feel like your taxes are going up but all your neighbors aren't.
Yeah.
But as long as we feel that the plan is fair, I think the American people understand you can't borrow beyond our means indefinitely, and they'd like to see some real leadership on this issue.